Skype, didn't you? I enjoyed the Skype. I preached a couple of missions conferences last year in Mississippi, and they used the Skype and brought those missionaries into that meeting, and that's the first time I'd seen it. And it was so effective. And Brother Brian was telling me, of course, we heard our pastor announce yesterday that we were going to do that this week, and I was excited about it because I know the effect it had last year, and it had no less effect tonight. I mean, it brings the mission field into the conference. And boy, for him to have that Croat there to testify and to see the fruit that will abound to your account. People that have been won to the Lord because you gave. Jim Leslie went, but you gave. And as a result, that's fruit that will abound to your account. That is exciting. To me, that is as exciting as it gets. That makes me want to shout and praise the Lord and just really sets the tone for a good service. Well, back to John chapter 6 tonight. We're doing a series of sermons that we have developed to go along with the theme of this conference. As you know, the theme of this conference is staying by the stuff. Staying by the stuff. And, of course, your pastor derived that from 1 Samuel chapter 30, where David was in Ziklag. And they had lost a battle there, of course, and the men of Ziklag came and took their wives and all their spoils. Thank God they recovered it. But you remember David's words, some go out to battle and some stay by the stuff. Some stay at home. And so we've designed this series of messages in connection with that theme, and we're calling it The Stuff That Missions Is Made Of. The Stuff That Missions Is Made Of. We're not going to read the text, the same text every night, but what we're doing is we're giving you an overview and then we're going into the verses that we're going to use. And if you'll remember Sunday morning, dearly beloved, we preached from this text and we told you that the stuff that missions is made of involves the Master. Amen. We honed in on Jesus. As a matter of fact, dearly beloved, we saw him in verse number 1 where it says Jesus went. We saw him in verse number 3 where it says Jesus went up. We saw him in verse number 5 where it says Jesus then lifted up. We saw him in verse number 10 where it says, and Jesus said. And we saw him in verse number 11 where it says Jesus took the loaves. We saw him in verse number 14 where it says that Jesus did. There is no such thing as missions without the Master, amen? As a matter of fact, dearly beloved, it's Jesus that was the first missionary. It has been said by one great preacher of yesteryear that God had one son and he made him a missionary. That he condescended the stairway of time and came and took upon him a human vessel and a human body. Was made in the likeness of sinful men and humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so everything that takes place in this chapter, everything, dearly beloved, that takes place in mission springs from the person of the Master. Amen. The person of the Master. And then last night in yesterday evening service, we told you concerning the stuff that missions is made of. Not only involves the Master, but it involves the multitude. The multitude. As a matter of fact, dearly beloved, that's what it's all about. Verse number 2, we saw a great multitude. Amen. Verse number 5, we see a great company. In verse, dearly beloved, number 7, we see the personal plural pronoun, them. Then in verse number 10, once again, Jesus said, make the men to sit down. And the number was about 5,000. Then, of course, in verse number 12, it said, and when they were filled. Last night we examined the multitude, and we reminded all of us last night that Jesus Christ died for the world, that he came into this world to seek and to save sinners, amen. And Paul said that he was the chief of those sinners. We found, dearly beloved, that Jesus will save the one and Jesus will save the many, that God has a heart for the multitude. And as we study missions, as we embrace and engage in missions, you and I need a vision. You and I need a burden. You and I need a heart for the multitude. And then tomorrow night, dearly beloved, we're going to deal with the means that is involved in missions. Just exactly what it is that God uses to distribute and to divide to meet the means of missions. We see that, of course, in verse number 9, where he says, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Well, I love the way the Holy Ghost pays attention to detail. Don't you love that? 5 barley loaves. I mean, barley loaves in the Bible was poor man's bread. It was cheap bread. But I'm going to tell you, you put it in the hands of the master and it becomes a veritable smorgasbord. Not only that, not only 5 barley loaves, but 2, and the Holy Ghost said, small fishes. Amen. He wants you to see that, boy, the Lord, the Master, is about to do something. Now, I'm going to tell you something, dearly beloved. If you take the means that men have and put it in the hands of the Master and give it to the multitude, you've got mission. We'll deal with that tomorrow night. But tonight, dearly beloved, as we contemplate yet again the stuff that missions is made of, I want us to hone in and focus in this evening on the men involved in missions. I'm well aware of the fact, dearly beloved, that if God so chose to, he could write the gospel in the sky, dearly beloved. He could arrange the stars where the gospel could be preached. I'm well aware that if God wanted to, he could put the song in the bird, dearly beloved, that would verbalize the gospel and all men could hear the truth. I'm well aware that if God wanted to, he could put the message on the wind and the wind could blow from the four corners of the earth and all men would hear the gospel if God so desired to. I'm also aware, dearly beloved, that God chose the foolishness of preaching according to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And according to Romans chapter 10 and verse number 14, he said, how shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Amen. Dearly beloved, as we read the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and we see God's gifts of leadership to the local church, to the body of Christ, the scripture says, upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he gave some apostles, and he gave some prophets, and he gave some evangelists, and he gave some pastors and teachers. These men comprise the gifts of leadership in the church through which God hath chosen to be his mouthpiece to verbalize the gospel. And then I'm also aware that in the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in the end of those books, we have 4 different variations of the Great Commission. But we come to the book of Acts, dearly beloved, and we see the great verse 1 and 8. It is the theme verse of the book of Acts. And he says in that verse, and ye shall be witnesses unto me after that the power of the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. And the key word in that verse is the word both. The word both there means and at the same time. Not reach the world after we reach the home field, but reach all of it at the same time. Both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and into the uttermost parts of the earth. Who was he speaking to in the Great Commission? He was speaking to the same group of people that he's speaking to here, and I now identify them. You see, dearly beloved, here in verse number 3, it says there he sat with his disciples. And then again, dearly beloved, in verse number 8, it says, and one of his disciples. And then again in verse number 11, the Bible says that he gave thanks and distributed to the disciples and the disciples to them. And then, dearly beloved, in verse number 12, it says, he said unto his disciples, and then in verse number 13, therefore they, being the disciples, gathered them together and filled 12 baskets. There's been a lot of conjecture why there were 12 baskets, but when you study verses 1 through 9 and you see the doubt and you see the attitude that these disciples had, I have no doubt that the Lord not only fed that crowd, but he left them with little reminder as they toted a basket of barley loaf and fishes back to their dwelling place. That he is able. That he is able. Amen. Little is much when God is in it. Praise the Lord. And so tonight, dearly beloved, I want to take just a few moments and I want to dwell and focus in on the stuff that missions is made of, that involves the men in missions. You see, dearly beloved, I'm talking about disciples tonight. And in talking about disciples, I'm talking about all of us, amen? I'm not just talking about the preachers and the singers. I'm not just talking about the missionaries. Dearly beloved, that verse in Acts 1 and 8 was not just for apostles, but it was for disciples. Can I say to you and I tonight, in the spirit of the Apostle Paul in his writings to the church at Rome, that you and I, all of us, the local church, we are debtors to a lost and dying world, my friend, to get the gospel out. And if we cannot go, my friend, then you and I need to be willing to do whatever we have to do to make sure that someone is sent, that someone goes and tells the greatest message that has ever been preached. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tonight, dearly beloved, I want you to see a few thoughts about the men involved in missions. First of all, I call to your attention the truth about these men. The truth about these men. I do want to say that they were mere men. Sometimes, dearly beloved, I think we get the impression that God's men are beyond mere men. But I remind you tonight that the Apostle Paul, when speaking of himself, called himself the chief of sinners. I remind you tonight that James spoke to us about the great prophet Elijah. I'm talking about the one that called down fire from heaven. And James reminded us that Elijah was a man of like passions. And I say tonight, dearly beloved, that all of us have to fight this flesh. And even the great apostle said that he buffeted his body daily and kept it in subjection, lest by any means when he had preached to others, he himself should become a castaway. And dearly beloved, there's a tendency on all our part, like the old songwriter said, prone to wander, God, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. And I'm just simply saying that the Christian life is a battle. It's a marathon, and it's not a sprint, dearly beloved. And every day you've got to fight that battle, because we're all mere men. We're subject to failure and fault. We can break down. We can sin. We can disobey. And boy, I'm going to tell you tonight, we see that clearly in the life of these disciples. Concerning the truth about these disciples, I want you to see, first of all, that there were lapses in their faith. There were lapses in their faith. We see that clearly in verse number 1 and 9. When Jesus asked Philip, "What shall we buy, or where shall we go to buy bread that these may eat?" The Bible said, Philip said, "You know, I don't care how much we buy, 200 penny worth, that's not enough to feed these men." When Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke to Jesus, he said, "We have a lad here with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many?" Dearly beloved, these two illustrations remind you and I tonight, dearly beloved, that even though these men walked with Jesus, they walked with the King of Kings. They had seen him give sight to the blind. They had seen him give speech to the dumb. They had seen him give hearing to the deaf. Why, they had even seen him raise the dead. Yet, my friend, here they are facing a crowd of about 15,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And here they go, dearly beloved, falling subject to lapses in their faith, completely forgetting the fact that it's the Son of God that they're standing in the presence of, that there's nothing that he cannot do. And yet we see the lapses in their faith, just like us. He provides again and again and again. Why, folks, I'm here to tell you, God works in our daily lives in such a big way, and we are so prone to overlook that. Don't you know the food you've got, God gave it to you. The car you drive, God gave it to you. The clothes you've got on your back, God gave it to you. And then we come up against what seems like a mountain of opposition, dearly beloved, and we want to resort to the reasoning of the flesh. I'm here to tell you, there's nothing that our God cannot do, dearly beloved. And yet in spite of that, just like these men, there are lapses in their faith. Our boys, I've been meditating on this and studying this. There's a couple of thoughts I want to give you. You know, when it comes to the lapses in these men's faith, there's two things they forgot. There's two things they forgot. Number one, they forgot that he is the man. Let me just show you this. You see, the Bible said when Jesus asked Philip, "When shall we buy bread?" Look at verse 6. It said, "And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do." He knew that what Philip would, instead of Philip saying, "Lord, what do you mean, whence? You're the Son of God. I've seen you do it before." No, sir. Philip gets out his Texas Instruments calculator and he gets out his abacus and starts counting it up. And in essence, what Jesus is telling us there is, "I knew what he'd do. I said this to prove him." And simply this, how often do we forget that he is the man, amen? He is the man, Christ Jesus. He is the Son of Man, amen? We don't need a calculator. We don't need, my friend, a restaurant full of food. We don't even need 5 loaves and 2 fishes. We have him, and Christ is all that we need. Boy, that stirs me up. Oh, my soul. I remember when Dr. Lee Robertson put the sign at the back of the great Highland Park Baptist Church, said, "God said it and I believe it." And that settles it. My daddy got up one Sunday morning in the church I pastor, and I've been pastoring for 27 years. I was 8 years old when I went there. I was about 12 years old when I remember my daddy got up and said, "You know something? God said it, and whether I believe it or not, that settles it," amen. Just the fact that he said it is enough. You see, that's what the Lord was wanting Philip to say. "Philip, you don't need a calculator. Philip, you don't need a place to buy bread. I am the bread of life. I am that I am."
Yes, sir.
What a lapse in faith. You fill out that faith promise card. Boy, I tell you, I just don't know. It just don't add up.
You know, I dealt with those attitudes yesterday. And you know what we're forgetting? We're forgetting that He is the great I Am. That He is the man, Christ Jesus. That's what Philip was, that's what the Lord was wanting Philip to see. That's what He was trying to prove to Philip. And then with Andrew and his lapse in faith, it serves to remind us that like these disciples, not only often do we forget that He is the man, but often we forget that He can. I love it because after Andrew said, "What these among so many?" Jesus didn't even answer him. Jesus didn't even address it with the answer. It just said in verse 10, and Jesus said, "Make the men to sit down." Amen. Make the men sit down. It's as though the Lord's saying, "I heard what you're saying, Andrew, but behold what God can do." It reminds me of the words of David in the book of Psalms. Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? I remember Brother Harold Sattler used to preach on that phrase, and he'd preach that message, and it was called God Can. Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Yes, He can. Amen. Can create the world? He stood out on the embattlements of eternity and spoke it in existence. Can God shut the mouths of lions? He went into the lion's den and shut them in Daniel's day. Can God steal the flame? He walked in the fiery furnace in the day of the three Hebrew children. Can God be born of a virgin? He came into this world through the Virgin Mary. Can God die on a cross? He did. Can He rise from the dead? He did. Hallelujah. He can. And it's as though He looks at old Andrew and says, "I'm not even going to address that with an answer. Just have him sit down. Behold what the Lord can do." You see, the truth about these men and us is often we have lapses in our faith. And we forget that He is the one, that He is the great I Am, that He is the one who can. But then let me give you another thought here concerning the truth about these men. Not only do you see the lapses in their faith, but we see the lessons that they had to learn. Here's three of them. I won't dwell long here, but let me give you these. Number one, they needed to learn the lesson of the Lord. The lesson of the Lord. We've already alluded to that when the Lord spoke to Philip. But you know what the lesson of the Lord is? It's a lesson on dependability. And that is that you can trust Him. He never fails. He always comes through. They needed wine at the wedding. And brother, they got the best wine. Hallelujah. Amen. Here they needed food to feed the multitude. And they got it. You know why? Because our God is faithful. He's dependable. Amen. And boy, we need to learn that lesson tonight as disciples in the face of our lapses of faith, that we can trust God, that God will never let us down, that God is always on time, that God is faithful. I love 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 13 where it said, "There's no temptation taken you but such as is common unto man, but God who is faithful." The lesson of the Lord is a lesson on dependability. The lesson of the lad is a lesson on availability. I'll tell you what. There goes that bottle. Well, it's available. That lad just happened to be there. He is available. I just want to be there, don't you? Whether it's at church, the will of God, in a strategic place, I just want to be there. You know, because you never tell when God's going to put His finger on your shoulder and say, "Hey, I've got something for you to do." Yeah. Amen. You know something? God let Moses sit in a wilderness for 40 years to preach one message. And the title of it was, "Let My People Go." And then God lets Moses sit in the wilderness for another 40 years. And all he got to do is go up and stand on Mount Nebo and look in and see the promised land. You know something, my friend? There was 80 years where Moses had some lessons taught to him, but there wasn't a whole lot going on in his life. But brother, when God did call for him, he was there. Amen. And you know something? When that lad left that house that morning, he didn't know God's going to use him. When that lad went to that crowd that day, he didn't know God was going to use him. But I'm here to tell you, he was there. Hallelujah. I don't want to be an absentee Christian. I don't want to be absentee from church. And I don't want to be absentee from what God wants me to do. We just need to be there. The lesson of the lad. The lesson of the Lord, one of dependability. The lesson of the lad, one of availability. And the lesson of the lunch, one of usability. Oh, and that is that God can use anything. Bobby, that blesses me. He said, Moses, what is that in your hand? Oh, it's a stick. He said, throw it on the ground. And it became a serpent. He said, I thought that was a stick, Moses. He said, to you, Moses, it's a stick. To me, it's anything I want it to be.
Amen.
And that just serves to remind us God can use anything. God can use anything. What's that you're riding, Balaam? Oh, it's just an old mule. Well, you better listen, Balaam. That old mule's talking to you. And guess who's speaking through him? God. Hey, disciples, what's that on the ground? Why, those are rocks. You better listen real close because I think they're praising their creator. Amen. Because if you won't praise him, the rocks will rise up and praise.
Amen.
And we're worried about whether or not we can support missionaries. And we're worried about whether or not we can do this. I'm going to tell you something, in spite of the lapses of our faith, there are some lessons he wants us to learn. And that's the truth about all of us tonight. But I not only want you to see the truth about these men, I want you to see the tendencies concerning these men. I've learned this about living for the Lord. Whenever you think that you've really learned a lesson and you'll never need another lesson in that area again. I mean, you've learned that. Believe me, my friend, the depth of that is that only that you think that. Now, what I'm getting at here is this. And that is, dearly beloved, so often God takes us through things and God teaches us things. And we're so prone to forget. You know, when you read the book of Deuteronomy, did you know the theme of the book of Deuteronomy, in a word, is the word remember? All the way through the book of Deuteronomy, Moses is telling those people, don't forget. Remember. You know something? A good illustration of that is the book of Judges. 13 judges God raised up in that book. 13 times the nation of Israel wandered from it. 13 times the nation of Israel, judgment was brought upon them. And 13 times they repented and came back to God. And yet it became a vicious cycle. I'm just saying, my friend, there is a tendency on our part, dearly beloved, no matter how many times God teaches us a lesson, no matter how many times, dearly beloved, that we go through the fire, go through the trial, it just seems like we never arrive. We never come to a place where we'll say, I never have to pass this way again. And to that end, I say to you tonight, dearly beloved, that that's just what these disciples experienced. I find that there was a tendency on their part to have to relearn the lesson. It's amazing. Here they had just seen. Let me show you this. Seen the 15,000 to 20,000. And then look down here a little further in verse 16. It says, and when the even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea, and entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, They see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship. And notice this next phrase. And they were afraid. Hold on. They just learned the lesson of the Lord. They just learned the lesson of the lad. They just learned the lesson of the lunch. They just had gone through some lapses of faith. You'd think that they would have learned that lesson, that that was behind them. And not 24 hours later, friend, a storm rises on the sea and they're afraid. They're afraid they're going to die. I'm just saying, friend, that's why we need missions conferences again and again and again. That's why we need to come to the house of God again and again and again. That's why we need to hear preaching again and again and again. Because no matter how many times you learn it, it needs to be relearned. It needs to be reaffirmed. Amen. It needs to be recalled, dearly beloved, because of our tendency, as we've already told you tonight, to experience these lapses in our faith. There's not only, my friend, a tendency to have to relearn, but boy, there's a tendency to have to return. And guess who got back in that boat with them? Brother Jesus did. Friend, when that storm was blowing, they thought they were perishing, and in the other gospel, they thought they saw a ghost, and John said, "It's the Lord." I'm here to tell you, friend, relief came to their hearts and souls. They wanted Jesus to get into that boat. Brother Jesus got into that boat and he began to speak and the wind ceased and the waves went back to the shores. You see, dearly beloved, they realized that, that not only did they have to relearn, but brother, they had to return. Amen. And that's just what we need tonight, dearly beloved. As we live our life and as we go through these lessons in life, not only do we have to relearn, but brother, we need to be instructed tonight that we need to go back to Jesus again and again and again and get at his feet. Amen. And listen to what he says. Draw strength from his very presence. Then let me remind you tonight, not only of the truth about these men and the tendencies concerning these men, but let me just take a moment tonight to inform you about the triumph of these men. There was a great victory won here, you know. And you know something? God wants to win a great victory here this week. But the triumph of these men can be seen in two things. First of all, they became unquestionable in their response. I like what the scripture says here. It says, and Jesus said, make the men to sit down. And it says, so the men sat down. The Bible says he took the loaves, gave thanks, distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them. In verse 13, it says, therefore they gathered them together after Jesus said in verse 12, gather up the fragments that remain. You see, in the first nine verses, there was hesitation. There's doubt. But let me tell you the triumph I see in these men. In that, dearly beloved, as the Lord began to teach them that lesson, as they began to learn that lesson, they became unquestionable in their response. Just whatever Jesus said, they did it. And oh, what a victory it'll be in our lives personally and in our lives collectively as a church when we reach the place, dearly beloved, where we don't question the Lord anymore. We don't ask the Lord why or what or when or where, just whatever he says, we do it. Didn't Mary teach us that? There at the marriage of Cana of Galilee, Mary said, whatsoever he saith unto you. Unquestionable in their response. Amen? Unquestionable in their response. And they were undeterred. Undeterred in their actions. In other words, dearly beloved, it wasn't easy. Can you imagine how hard it was and how long it took to pass bread and fish out to 20,000 people? Can you imagine, dearly beloved, how much time it took and the effort took place to gather up 12 basketfuls that remained? You know, when it started, it was already late. I wonder how late it was when they got through. Man, that time did not deter them. Difficulty did not deter them. They were undeterred in their actions. You know, Brother Bobby and Nanette sang that song so beautifully a while ago. Keep pressing on. I love the words of the Apostle Paul when he talked about all the things that he had been through. He said, but none of these things moved. Amen. He said later on to the church at Corinth, I've been knocked down, but I've not been knocked down. I've been in despair. But I'm keeping on, keeping on. God, help us tonight to be the men in missions. Amen. God, help us tonight as disciples to realize that when it comes to reaching this world for Jesus Christ and when it comes to Longview Baptist Church, this is the people he's going to use. This is the people he's going to use. God, help us to be the men, the women, the children in missions. It blessed my heart when Brother Brian talked about that child came and gave that card. It's amazing. You know what that tells me? That child's listening. And that child understands. And with like faith, that child says, preacher, here, I want to do my part. God, give us the faith of a little child. No wonder Jesus said, except you become like one of them, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Who just hear the truth and do it. May the Lord help us tonight. May he help us to be the men in missions. With our heads bowed and eyes closed.